ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Gardening on ABC Radio Perth and WA.
This is Roots and Shoots, ABC Radio Perth's gardening podcast with new episodes twice a week. I'm Michael Tetlow. It's the gardening show for green thumbs and aspiring horticulturalists alike, and the wonderful Sabrina Hahn is here to answer all of your curly questions. Oh, Sabrina Hahn, welcome back from Carrageenie.
Ah, oh, well, thank you so much. And how was your stay at up there? Did you encounter
Sabrina,
6 billion flies?
I did indeed. I did, but I loved it. I didn't look, the flies not so much, but the whole event was just beautiful. How did you go with the flies, Sab?
Well, they were fairly persistent, I have to say. But honestly, the scenery up there is so stunning, absolutely stunning. Yeah. So, and then I took the back road going from Ningaloo across to Exmouth, and that country there is amazing.
Yeah, yeah, it is, isn't it? I mean, there is, for a place where there's a whole lot of nothing, there's a whole lot of something out there.
Yep. And saw heaps of things, saw some big goannas. And I had no idea there was so much mining up there. Like about every 20 kilometres, there's another mine.
Yeah.
There's mountains of mine dumps everywhere. But I just couldn't get over how beautiful it was.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Sabrina, it's time to – we can't just be on holidays forever. I wish we could be, but it is time to get into some gardening.
Yeah, let's hook in, Tex.
All right, let's do it. Okay, Ross, this is an interesting question. Ross asks, Sabrina, is it possible to be heritage list – an old tree on a private property? My aunt has a 60-year-old peppermint tree, which is a grand old lady like her at 95 in her backyard. The house is on a quarter acre in Caronup, huge backyard. The tree, 5 to 6 metres in trunk circumference and at least 60 feet tall.
Wow.
I would love to know. Would love to think this tree could be saved.
Yeah. Ross, unfortunately, Western Australia is not really big on registering heritage trees. Some councils do it, but you'd have to get in contact with your local council. We have no tree protection laws at all in WA. Certainly farmers have much stricter controls than on anyone on private property can basically cut down whatever they want. So it's best to get in contact with your local council and see if they have any listing of old trees, and at least then it's listed as a significant tree.
Savvy Sue's been in touch. She says, can I take a cutting of a frangipani now? Also, are their leaves good mulch, or do they need to be raked up?
No, you can leave the leaves of frangipanis on the ground. They do take a long time to break down because they have sort of a waxy coating and they're very sappy.
They do, don't they?
Yeah. So they do take quite a while to break down, but I just leave them there. You're right at the very end of being able to take cuttings from your frangipanis. I think you've finally started to cool down there in Perth now. Shark Bay is a beautiful 33 degrees and sunny.
Sabrina, don't rub it in. Come on.
So you really need to take the cuttings before they drop all their leaves. So you've probably got a window of about 3 weeks.
Okay. All right. On the subject of cuttings, Pete in Two Rocks asks, can I take grevillea cuttings now and how would I do it?
Yes. So grevillea cuttings, you're better off getting those from the very new tip growth. Usually we take them in spring and summer, but our summers just seem to go on and on and on and on and on. So I reckon you've got a little window there. So you need to take the cuttings from the tip where it's all sort of bendy, so you can bend it over quite easily. Mm-hmm. And then you need to put them in a propagation mix. Now, for some unknown reason, grevillea cuttings don't like being with other cuttings. They're solitary little things. They are, Tets. So put them in their own little pot. You can either use rock wool or you can use a propagation mix. And put a lid over the top so that the moisture stays in. So you want your cuttings about 10 centimetres long. You're going to strip the bottom leaves off and then dip it in a hormone gel for soft wood, and then pop them in the propagation mix.
All right, let's get the phone lines, Sab. Jackie's in Bibra Lake. Hello, Jackie.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Hi. Yeah, tell us about your flame tree.
It's a very old flame tree. I think it's a flame tree, but it's got a lot of boreholes in it, and the branches kind of break off very easily.
Ooh. So when you say boreholes, are they tiny little holes or are they substantial holes?
A lot of little holes.
Ooh.
Shot hole borer.
Now, the flame tree is highly susceptible to the polyphagous shot hole borer. You need to, Jackie, you've got the My Pest Guide Reporter app on your phone?
No, not yet.
But if it's possible for you to download that, or you can contact the Pest Disease Library. And they will come and have a look at the tree and identify it. So BPIRD, Department of Primary Industries and Department of Primary Industries and Regional somethings.
Regional Development, I think you'll find.
Thank you. Regional Development.
Yes, all right, Jackie.
The flame tree also has a lot of lichen on it. Is that harmful to the
lichen? The lichen isn't harmful at all, Jackie. You don't need to worry about the lichen. But you do need to worry about those little tiny holes that are in the, tree.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay,
all right,
thanks,
good luck, Jackie. Let's go to the text line again. And Joe asks this question, Sab. I've got some yellow sand about 6 inches wide between the driveway and the fence. So I'm wanting to put some everlasting seeds there. Can I scatter potting mix in with the yellow sand?
Yep.
Or do I have to transfer some sand from other parts of the garden?
No. Joe, you can mix potting mix in with the sand, and that'll be a lovely propagation mix for germination. What I usually do is before I sow the seeds, I put the seeds in a bucket and I get a little bag of perlite and I mix the perlite in with the, so just break open the everlasting seeds. So if you've got like half a cup of everlasting seeds, you need 4 cups of perlite. You mix it all together and then you hurl it around the place and water it in.
All right, there we go. Give that a go. Neil in Medora Bay has texted in as well, Sab. He says, I put 2 blueberries in pots in December and they're starting to flower. Neil says, do I pick them off and wait for them to fruit in November?
No, because lots of blueberries actually fruit in autumn. So I would just leave them and count your blessings that you've got some fruit early.
Yeah. Sabrina Hahn, Andy asked this question, can I take pomegranate cuttings now and how do I do it?
Well, we usually take pomegranate cuttings, Andy, when they're completely dormant. So, well, mine, by the time I get home, I reckon it will have dropped all its leaves. So we usually take cuttings around June, but if your tree has dumped all its leaves, you can take cuttings as soon as it's done that. Now, we take hardwood cuttings from pomegranates. So you can either grow them from seed or you grow them from, so you come down from the tip. You want semi-hardwood, really, so not the really thick, dry, brown wood. Come up towards the tip of the branch, and you want the branch to be about pencil thickness. And you want your cutting about 15, 20 centimetres long.
All right, give that a go. Let's go to the phone. Sabrina Annalise is in Geraldton. Hello, Annalise.
Good afternoon. How are you guys?
Yeah, good.
Now, it's not as delightful and sunny here in Geraldton today. We've got the nice cool breeze, finally. But I have a fruiting fig tree, which currently still has fruit on it. It's in a very large pot, and the potting mix has, it's about 2 years in there, so the potting mix is now starting to compact down. I'd like to know, rather than lifting out a very large root ball and most likely having to break the pot, can I just top it up with good compost and potting mix onto the top layer?
Yeah, absolutely, Annalise. So what a good trick to do is get a hand trowel. So get a narrow hand trowel, dig out some of the potting mix that's up the top, and then the new potting mix that you put in, I want you to add a little bit of compost to the potting mix, and then fill the pot up with that, and your fig will love it.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Annalise.
Good on you, Annalise. Let's go to Rhonda now. Rhonda's in Mount Lawley. Hello, Rhonda. What's your question for Sabrina?
Oh, g'day, Sabrina. I've got rats, of course, but my dog caught two of them this week. So
champion dog. Dog.
Yeah.
What sort of dog is he?
He's a rescue, Ridgeback Mastiff Cross. He's a big 32-kilo boy.
Wow.
He's been hunting him for a month.
I'll borrow him.
Anyway, they're getting into my white sapotes. I've got in 50-litre pots. They're just chucking the fruit out, and the rats are eating them. They seem to be ripening on the windowsill. They'll be edible when they're soft, will they?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Rhonda. Yep.
And I've got three. Go on.
I was going to say the trick is to pick them before the rats get them.
Oh, you can pick them early. Good. Because I've got some black sapote, and I haven't seen any fruit, but this morning there was a little ping-pong-sized black thing on the ground that I think might be a black sapote, so I took that in.
Yeah.
I've only had them in the pots for like 3-4 months.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm really excited.
you are a gun gardener. A gun gardener, Rhonda.
Oh, thank you, Sabrina. Thank you for your help.
Let's go to Zach now. He's in Perth. And Zach, tell us about your nectar tree.
Hello. We got a pomegranate tree, from last 6 years, it's not giving the fruit. This year it gave very good fruit, but it's not that sweet. I'm not too sure what to do. I was thinking to cut it off, you know.
Did you say it's a nectarine tree, Zach?
No, nectarine. It's a pomegranate, sorry.
Oh, pomegranate. Okay. All right. So you may need to feed it up a bit, Zach. Is it in a pot or in the ground?
Ground.
In the ground. Okay. So I think you might need to add some compost and a wetting agent and some fertilizer, Zach. I mean, it's too late now, but in spring, some trace elements, get some good compost, wetting agent, and just boost the soil a bit, and you should be getting fruit in the following spring.
Yeah, I got some fruits, but it's not that sweet. Is there anything you can do to give the sweet fruit?
Yeah, that's probably a trace element deficiency, Zach. So get hold of trace elements and start putting them in, you know, the end of August. And that'll help boost the sweetness in the fruit.
Okay. When can I prune this pomegranate tree? What's the best
You can do it in June and July.
Okay. So the trace element you said, where do we get that one?
You can buy it at any nursery or any hardware store, Zach. It'll have written on it trace elements.
Okay, no worries. Thank you. Appreciate the help. Thank you.
No worries.
Good on you, Zach. Thanks so much for calling in. 1-300-222-720 is the number. If you've got a question for Sabrina, we're broadcasting live from King Street in the city. Sabrina is in Shark Bay. This is a true outside broadcast, Sabrina.
on both grounds.
That's right, indeed. On the text line, Mary, who's in York, says she's starting a compost heap. But she's only got eucalyptus leaves from white gums. Can she put those in the compost?
They take a long time to break down, Mary. Mm. Yeah. You definitely would have to put other stuff in with, if you can shred the eucalyptus leaves, like put them through a mulcher first so that you break them down a little bit. You'll need some manure or some blood and bone or, you know, a good nitrogen component. But I would only make eucalyptus leaves like 10% of the dry matter going in your compost.
Okay. Here's another one about sandy soil, desert sand in this case, Sabrina. This person lives in Mount Magnet. They need tips to plant yucca cuttings.
Well, my advice to you would be not to put yucca cuttings in because they're one of my favourite hated plants on the planet. surely there's something else. Put aloes in. Now, the thing about aloes is they are desert, dry, hardy plants, but they have the most sensational flowers, and all the honey eaters will come for miles for the nectar. They have really heavily laden nectar and pollen-filled flowers. Forget the yucca, go aloes.
Now, go the aloe, all right.
Yeah. Just put them in with a little bit of potting mix. That's all you need to do. Forget the yucca.
Oh. Okay, forget them. Now, Anthea from Murdoch is waiting patiently on the line. Hi, Anthea.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Yeah, good. What's your question for Sabrina?
Sabrina, we have a mandarin tree that has produced an abundance of fruit. The only problem is that before we get time to pick them to eat them, they've fallen off onto the ground. Wondering what the problem might be.
Okay. So does the whole crop fall, Anthea, or just most
of it? Yeah, most of the crop's been lost to falling on the ground, yeah.
Okay. So now, mandarins produce far more fruit than they can hold on to, so it's always a good idea to thin the mandarins before they become fully formed. And the other thing you need to do is you need to get trace elements onto it. So the trace elements are higher potassium, helps them to actually hold on to the fruit. There's a foliar spray you can get for fruiting trees that has a hormone in it that makes the fruit stay on until it's fully mature. So trace elements and then that the hormone-based foliar spray to put on the tree, and then thin out the fruit, you know, when they're about golf ball size.
Okay. Try not to be greedy, in other words.
Yeah. Something like that, Anthea. Something like that.
Okay. Thanks very much, Sabrina.
Sabrina, let's go to Ray. Ray's in Albany. Hello, Ray.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Good.
Downtown Albany. Sabrina, I put in a crabapple tree about 4.5 years ago, I reckon. And it flowers every year on the main sort of like four little thin stickies that it has, but it's never grown.
That's a bit disappointing.
It was in a pot, and I tried to tease the roots out as much as I could. Do you reckon it's still root bound in the ground? Would have just been going around the circle?
I would say so. Now, what you can do, Ray, is this winter, when it's dormant, prune it by third and dig it up. So I want you to dig it up and have a look at the root system. If the roots are still sort of, they're not going anywhere and they're wrapping around or, you know, going in a circle, just get your secateurs and cut them. Cut the root system.
Right.
And then put it in, you know, replant it in a lovely, lush, you know, beautiful, rich soil. And if it still doesn't come good in the first year, in the first summer, ditch it. There'll be something compromised in the root. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Wonderful. That's probably what I was going to do.
Okay. Super. Easy, Ray.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ray, for calling in. Let's go to another Ray on the text line. He's in Geraldton, Sab. Mm-hmm. He says, what variety of viburnum would you recommend to plant as a windbreak hedge for my fruit trees up here? Prefer evergreen, best suited to heavy clay soil, but can replace and mix with better soil and compost.
Okay, so the viburnum for Gero, because it's a tad windy up there, Tets.
It is a bit.
So you're better off with the viburnum Anvi, A-N-V-I. It's one of the toughest ones.
All the others
are not going to appreciate the wind, but the viburnum Anvi, very tough.
All right. Good, good, good. Now, Mark is asking this question. He's planted a Kaikuyu lawn, watered with bore water, got great germination, but the leaves have started going purple. The plants have stopped growing after a couple of weeks. Any clues?
Purple? The leaves are going purple?
That's what Mark reckons.
Wowzers.
Maybe they've gone brown.
Well, if leaves go purple, that's usually an overdose of phosphorus. I don't know. Maybe he was a bit heavy-handed with the fertilizer. It's unusual for things to go purple.
All right, that's a bit of a mystery then.
I would add a bit of nitrogen. Like, go and get a liquid lawn fertilizer, because that's mostly just nitrogen, bit of potassium, but no phosphorus.
Okay.
That would be my advice.
All right, a last quick one, Sabrina from Simon on the text line. Can you suggest a fast-growing evergreen tree that will grow to about 6 metres tall to screen my new overlooking neighbours?
Oh, that's nice. did he say evergreen, sorry? Evergreen tree?
He did, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so you could have any of the carimbias, the smaller carimbias, which are the native gum. You could have, there's a beautiful little gum that's called a dwarf sugar gum, and that has beautiful shiny green leaves and a lovely canopy, and that'll only get to 5-6 metres, very fast growing, and would probably, I reckon, that would suit.
Thanks for listening.
You can join us live on Tuesdays from 2:30 p.m.
Head to abc.net.au/Perth or listen to ABC Perth on DAB or 720 AM.
Text your questions in on 0437 922 720.
Or better still, call us in the studio, 1300 222 720. Roots and Shoots will be back on the weekend to answer more of your gardening questions. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on your favourite podcast player.
And share the episode with all your friends.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.